Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Thanks, Mark. We are reading from Matthew 8. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
Good morning and welcome, especially if you're visiting today. If you don't know me, my name is Margie and I'm here on staff at GBC. I, as Mark had said earlier, I oversee the administration for the ops and all of our serve team things. Before coming to be here solely at Gymea Baptist Church, I also worked in outdoor ministry. And part of my role was to actually help train up leaders who were going to take groups, most likely of kids and youth, out into the bush. So things like bushwalking, canoeing, rock climbing, abseiling, things like that. One of the main things that we needed to train them in was how to manage and assess risk. So we would have to do all kinds of stuff to help them try to be able to understand that. I tell you that to give you a little bit of an insight as to why I like watching this show. The show is called Alone. It's on free to air, so anybody can see it. And if you haven't seen it, basically what it is, it's a contest where 10 people are put into an extreme wilderness situation alone. And they have to try and last the longest. So their goal is to use their own skills and abilities to last the longest, to win the prize at the end. Now, the trick is, though, is that there's a limit as to what they're allowed to take. So when they go and they, I guess, accepted on the show, there is a list of things, the minimum of, like, they can bring certain things, but it's very specific. So, for example, I even looked it up, they can bring 2 hats. And then, but there's this very specific what classifies as a hat. So they can pick whatever hat they want, but it has to be one of those 2. That's it. So there has the minimum, but here's the part where I really like, is that then they can pick 10 special items, only 10. There's a list. And from that 10, it can include things like things for shelter, bedding, hygiene, tools, hunting, cooking, and food. Now, the reason I like watching this show, and I don't watch it religiously, it's just kind of when I happen to fall upon it and I watch it, is that by what they take, those 10 special items, that tells me what they assessed as the greatest risk. The thing that they were going to need to be able to last the longest in this wilderness situation. In our passage today, we've got another man who's actually living alone. I wonder what he assessed as the risk. I wonder what he packed. But to help us actually understand this a little bit better, we have to kind of step back a little bit to understand the context of this passage. So in Jesus' time, a person with considered to have leprosy, they would have been following the law and the rules that they would have had for their Jewish culture. We are fortunate enough that we know what those are. If we go back to the Old Testament and we look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 to 46. There's 46 verses that talk about skin diseases and what to do about them. So in Jesus' time, if you happened to wake up one day and you had a rash or a boil upon your skin, you would follow what the law said. You would go to the priest. The priest would examine you. He would follow what it says as to classifying and deciding as to if this was a skin disease that would be classified as leprosy. If that was the case, then the priest would declare, "You are unclean. Off you go." Because see, if you read in Leviticus, what that meant, being unclean and having leprosy, it could be a multiple different types of skin diseases, but you were commanded to then go and live outside of the camp and to live alone. You were excluded out of community. You were removed from everyday society. You couldn't even interact anymore with your own family. You were alone. Now, part of that, because now they are considered unclean, it means that they are also excluded from the sacred and the holy places. If you're in a life group or if you're watching the videos, you will hear from Lynn Coick, who's one of the Bible scholars. And she talks about in that time as well of that it, and for the unclean, it was about being in your proper place. There was a ritual cleanliness that you needed to have to be in those sacred spaces. And if you were unclean, you did not have that cleanliness. It was improper for you to be in those spots. Now, that seems a bit extreme for our society today, but it made me think of something that I remember seeing when I was a kid. I grew up in the U.S. You can probably tell by my accent. And often outside in the U.S., outside of storefronts, there would be a sign. I don't see them here in Australia, but in the U.S., they'd have this sign. It would say, "No shirt, no shoes, no service." So if you tried to go into that building or into that shop and you did not have a shirt on, then you essentially brought judgment down upon yourself and you were escorted back out. You were improperly clothed. You weren't proper to be in that space. Now, like I said, I don't see those signs here in Australia, but I have seen in spaces, especially with nice restaurants, it'll specifically say about what footwear you can wear, right? There's certain restaurants here in Australia where it says you can't be wearing slides or thongs or flip-flops. And if you try to go into that space with your thongs on, it's the improper footwear. You, in a sense, bring judgment down upon yourself because you're going to be escorted back out and be told, put on the proper shoes, and then you can come in. There's the same type of thing with the unclean. They're unclean. It's not proper for them to be in that space. Now, why I really like watching alone is that, as I said, it helps me to see what they assess as the risks. And you know what I find? Is almost every contestant at some point in the journey will realize that they underestimated the risk of loneliness. They underestimated it. They didn't even take it into account. All they thought about was how they were going to get food or how they were going to stay warm or how are they going to make sure that they're looked after. But they underestimated it. At some point in the journey, they realize that they miss company. They miss human interaction. They miss having that person that God has their back, that tells them, okay, we didn't get any food today, but it's going to be okay because we're going to try again tomorrow. They don't have anyone where if they injure themselves, that other person comes alongside and cares for them and says, that's okay, I will go and get what we need. And some of them, they just get to that point where it's just the loneliness is so overwhelming that they tap out. They say, come pick me up. And they comment about seeing their family. They can't wait to be back and seeing their family. Can you imagine how this man with leprosy felt? We don't know how long he was outside of community, how long he's been excluded from his family, from community. We don't know. But the loneliness he must have felt must have been so heavy. Because unlike in alone, where I can tap out, he can't. In Leviticus, it tells us the only way to be brought back in to the community is that you would have to have been healed of your leprosy, and then you provide these sacrifices to show as evidence that you are clean, and so that you can be brought back into community. So this man with leprosy, who's living on the outside of the community, would have felt that loneliness. But what I find interesting is that he obviously is aware of what's going on, right? He's aware of what's happening within the community. Now, back to our setting, it's Jesus. Just before, it says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside. So just before this, he has taught people what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He has spent the time to tell the people how to pray, what to do if you're worried, how to deal with anxiety, how to approach God, how to treat one another, how to be wise. He's just spent all that time. I kind of wonder, it doesn't say, but I wonder if, because he's outside the community when this is happening, was the leper kind of off in the distance listening? Jesus is coming down from that mountainside, and it says the crowds are following. And at that moment, the man with leprosy shows a tiny bit of bravery. And he approaches Jesus. He kneels down in front of him. Now, I kind of imagine the crowd that's kind of following, I kind of imagine them all just stopping, just kind of going, okay, what's going on? And the man with leprosy makes a statement. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He comes with the tiniest bit of faith. You can make me clean. It's not a question. That's a statement. Ends with a full stop. The leper, he doesn't question if Jesus has the ability or the authority to restore him. He can see that there's something about Jesus, that there's an opportunity for an encounter with the divine. You can make me clean. It's not a question, it's a statement. But he starts it with, if you are willing. Why does he say that? Why does he say, if you are willing? Was it maybe because the man didn't want to get his hopes up? Because you know what? Maybe Jesus wasn't willing. Maybe he's not willing. Maybe he's approached him and he's been thinking of all the reasons why Jesus wouldn't be willing. Maybe he's thinking, you know what, this is just my lot in life. God must have made some people just to suffer, and I've got to accept that. So maybe Jesus isn't willing because I'm just supposed to suffer. He can, but maybe he's not willing. Maybe he's not willing because I've actually done something wrong, and I've done something so wrong that I am unforgivable. Jesus can, but maybe he's not willing. Maybe nothing can change. Maybe there's actually nothing that can happen here. He can, but maybe he's not willing. Maybe Jesus is just too busy to really notice me. I know he can, but maybe he's not willing. Maybe I'm actually risking something to Jesus because maybe Jesus doesn't want to be unclean by associating with me. Maybe he can, but maybe he's not willing. I imagine the crowd kind of standing there observing this and thinking, what's he going to do? What's Jesus going to do? And his response, Jesus' first reaction, his first form of communication, is he reaches out and he touches the man. Can you imagine how long has it been since that man has had another human contact? He reaches out and touches the man. A form of communication that I think says, I see you. I empathize. I accept you. Come back in. Be part of the community again. And Jesus reassures the man, I am willing. There's reassurance. I am willing. All those doubts, all that anxiety that you would have been feeling and that you're carrying, let it be. Because Jesus reaches out, he touches him and says, I am willing, be clean. And he's immediately restored. Immediately he's cleansed. He's not only restored physically, but he's restored emotionally and mentally and socially. His whole life changed. Jesus gives the man a command after that point. He says, go, show yourself to the priests and offer the gifts Moses commanded as a testimony to them. He says, go. You're accepted. Come back. You're part of the community. You're not excluded. You're not lost. So what's that mean for us? If you have not had kind of that first encounter with Jesus yet, and you're listening to this and you're like, well, that's great. That's fantastic. Well done for the leper. Good job. But I don't see how this has anything to do with me. I want to challenge you. Maybe you've been thinking about some of those things, about feeling excluded, feeling unworthy, feeling like nothing can change, feeling unforgivable. If you're in a life group and you watch the videos, or even if you're not and you're watching the videos on your own, you're going to meet two men, Sam and Mark. And these are some of the things that they bring up. how they felt like nothing could change for them, how they felt like God must have made me to suffer, how they felt like I can't be forgiven. My life is too messed up. But they had an encounter with Jesus. And I want to say, you can too. Now, just like the leper, it might take a little bit of bravery on your part. It might take a little bit of bravery and a little bit of belief to come up and to say, okay, God, I really want to encounter you. Now, you might be someone who you have, you know, you've had encounters with God, or you think you've had, but you just feel disconnected. You feel like, you know, you're kind of trying to do all these things to help you get connected or stay connected and have that encounter with Jesus. And I want to encourage you to stop. Because it doesn't matter the amount of things we do for God. God wants to be with us. And what I love about the videos as well is it talks about even about how we who have had that encounter with God and who are seeking and allowing God to change us daily, how he works through us. Now, the man with leprosy, he was able to go and approach Jesus' human form. That's not necessarily possible today, is it? But as the church, we are his hands and feet. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." When you watch the videos, what I love is that Sam and Mark, who you'll meet, they both comment about how their encounter with Jesus was facilitated through a Christian. That Christian was just the conduit. It just allowed Jesus to work through them and to show them who Jesus was and who Jesus is. We can be that. Those of us who are actively following Jesus, we can be that. Mark makes a comment in the video where he entered into a church setting and he was expecting, oh, hold on, let me read how he said it, moralizing geriatrics. That's his words. And he walked in and he said, "That's not what I experienced at all." He said, "You know what? There was something a little bit abnormal about those people." And what was abnormal was the way they loved one another and the way they loved others. I want us to be abnormal. I want people to be able to see Jesus. I'm going to invite the band to come up before I pray. I don't know your story, and I don't know where you're at, but I want to encounter Jesus. I want to have that little bit of bravery like the man with leprosy had. I want to have that little bit of faith. Because when Jesus has that encounter, everything changes. I want to be that conduit where God can work through me. Not for my glory, nothing for me, but for God. So Mark kind of introduced a prayer, I think last week or a few weeks ago, I don't even remember now. And I'm going to ask us to pray it, where it's just asking God to allow us to encounter Him. So if you bow your heads with me, let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you with all of our doubts, with all of our theories about who you are. But God, mostly what we need is we just need an encounter with you. Father, no matter where we are on our journey, if it's the very first encounter to the zillionth encounter with you, that's what we want. Father, come and meet with us. Meet us in our doubts. Meet us in our doings. Meet us in our disbelief. Help us encounter you. Father, I just pray that each person here would have an encounter with you, that you would open their eyes, that you would open their hearts, that you would break down walls, you would help them let go of things that are holding them or holding them back. If it's their first encounter with you, or if it's they've gotten lost in their trying to do all these things for you instead, or if it's God, help me to be that conduit for you. Help us encounter you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.